is that, but let's read from chapter 9, verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God, one fourth part of a day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stirs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunai, Serabiah, Bani, Chenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashadini, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethaniah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God for ever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshippeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abraham and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and give unto him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants, and in all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against thee, so thou didst get thee a name, as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein thou should go. Thou camest down upon Mount Sinai, and speakest with them from heaven, and givest them right judgments and true laws and good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath and commandments, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and givest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in and possess the land which I have sworn to give them. And we do trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts again this morning. The people here in Jerusalem are enjoying a mighty revival. Sometimes we have the idea that a revival is all about souls being saved. And if souls are being saved, we sometimes call it a revival. But of course, true revival begins first of all in the people of God. As a result of that, I do believe that souls will be saved as they see our lives lived to the glory of God. But the psalmist reminds us, wilt thou not revive us again? And true revival begins in the heart of the people of God. And this has been a time of revival. In the opening verses of chapter 9, we have another great assembly. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. Now we're still in the seventh month. You'll remember some of the things we've said from chapter 8. Verse 1 in chapter 8, the first day of the month was the Feast of Trumpets. The tenth day of the seventh month was the Day of Atonement. Then we had the Feast of Tabernacles we looked at last week. That would run from the 15th to the 22nd day. Then there would be what they called a solemn assembly. They seem to have taken a break on the 23rd day. And when you look at verse 1, you see that we're now in the 24th day. And here they're gathering again. But you'll remember last time they were feasting, but they're not feasting now, they're fasting. Here we see them fasting. We see them having sackcloth on. They have clothes on for mourning. They are showing sorrow of heart. They have earth upon them, which again is showing humility of heart. Verse 2 tells us, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. They are separated. And these are really the marks of a people who are in the midst of revival. Look at verse number 3. It says they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed. Here they're standing up and they're confessing their sin. When it talks about the 1/4 part of a day, it's 3 hours. Do you remember what the Lord said? Are there not 12 hours in a day? And of course the Lord knew there was 24 hours in a day. But they took the hours of daylight as the day that in which you could work. And so they were, for 3 hours they read the word of God. And then for 3 hours they would confess their sins. And you see, as they listened to the word of God, and this is always God's way, when you listen to the word of God, it will lead to confession of sins. Because the word is a mirror. And when we look into the mirror, we see the real state, the real condition. And if we come honestly and openly to the word of God, and we hear what God has to say, if we don't allow the thorns to choke it out, as Jason has reminded us this morning, if we really want the word to fall on good ground, then there'll be repentance, there'll be confession. And if there's something in our lives that's not right, we will want to have it sorted out. Verse 4, you see at the end of the verse, they cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. This is them praying. And then in verse number 5, the end of the verse, again the Levites seem to have divided in two and they were leading the meeting here. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. There was not only great prayer, but there was great praise. And here are the hallmarks of revival. You see, fasting, self-sacrifice. People no longer just living for self. No longer has the world centered on me. They now see that the need to self-sacrifice. There was separation. They had separated from the world. And this is carried into the New Testament. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I always say to the young people, the way to avoid a relationship with someone who's not saved is not to start it. Don't start it. That's the way to avoid it. Don't get so involved, then it becomes such a wrench and such a heartbreak to break that off. Do what the word of God says. Come out from among them and be ye separate. You see self-sacrificing, you see the separating, you see the confessing of sins. You see the hungering for the word of God. 3 hours they would soak in the word of God. You see them praying, you see them praising. These are the marks of a people who are enjoying revival. Now where are you this morning, personally? How well do you and I fit into these categories this morning? You know, one of my favourite little hymns is How Good is the God We Adore. It's really a statement of affirmation. It's not so much a question, but I sometimes look upon it as a question. How good is the God we adore? How good is our God this morning? You see, if we realise how good God is, you see at the centre of verse number 5, it says, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. You see, they were told in earlier chapters, rise up and build. Now they're said, let's stand up and bless. It's time to praise the Lord. And in direct proportion to how well you know your God, that will determine how well you're going to praise your God. So how well do you know your God this morning? How good is the God we adore this morning? I want us to rise up and bless the Lord. You know, this is a famous chapter in the Word of God. There are 3 famous names, and they're all chapters which have prayers in them. There's Ezra chapter 9, there's Daniel chapter 9, and there's Nehemiah chapter 9. This is the longest recorded prayer in the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 9. It talks about God, I think it's 72 times. The word gave is there 16 times. It's a gracious God, a generous God, a loving God. And of course, there's confession of sin right throughout this prayer. And we'll probably say more about the prayer next week. I want to just ask the question, how good is the God we adore? Is he worthy of our praise this morning? Is he worthy of your praise this morning? Now, let's just pick a few things out of these verses this morning. Notice what God is called in verse number 6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. You know, in verse 5, we're told his name is glorious and his name is above all. Think about the very name of the Lord this morning, Jehovah. What a name. It's a name that's nearly impossible for us to try and grasp. It just simply means I am. Dwight Pentecost says it contains each tense of the verb to be. So it's I was, I am, and I shall always be. This tells us that God is self-existent. God has always existed. This tells us that there's no end to God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What a God we have this morning. This tells us that Jehovah never changes. I am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And of course, this was said of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said himself, before Abraham was, I am. He's the great I am. And seven times in John's Gospel, we read the I Am titles of Christ. And we see in these titles some wonderful things. We see he's a great provider. Do you remember in John 6 verse 41, he says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now look at Nehemiah 9 verse 15, because this prayer really recounts some of the history of Israel. And thou givest them bread from heaven for their hunger. Here's the one who is the bread of life, the one who gave them physical bread, the one who gives us something that's greater than physical bread. He gives us eternal life. I am the bread of life. I just wanted you to think of God as the sustainer. God is the provider this morning. He meets our needs. How good is the God we adore? He is Jehovah. I am the bread of life. He is the great provider. John 8 verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Of course, for the sinner, he's a light unto their darkened heart. For the child of God, he leads us and he guides us. Look at verse number 12 in Nehemiah chapter 9. You'll see what I'm doing here in a moment. Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way which they should go. And when the dark days come, he's the light of the world. He leads us. He takes us by the hand. And he leads us every step of the way. He hasn't saved us and left us on our own. He's the great provider this morning. He has a pathway for you and a pathway for me this morning. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, look at verses 10 and 11 in Nehemiah 9. You'll know the story well. It's the story of the children of Israel when they're coming out of Egypt. Of course, there's mountains on this side, mountains on that side. Behind them is Pharaoh and the Egyptian soldiers. In front of them is the Red Sea. There's just no way out. There's just no way through. Talk about being between the devil and the deep blue sea. That's where they were. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to run. Nowhere to hide. Do you feel like that this morning? Have you come to wit's end corner? Have you come to a dead end? Has your life hit a standstill? And all you can see is the Red Sea in front of you. The enemy's behind you. He won't leave you alone. There are mountains to either side that you cannot possibly conquer. You're in an impossible situation. But of course the Lord made the way through on dry land. Verse number 11. He took them through. He had a pathway for them. He's the light of the world this morning. Oh, how good is the God we adore. He's our great provider this morning. He has a pathway for you and I to take this morning. He makes a way when there is no way. Look at John 10, verse 9. The next I am the door. And of course, it's a wonderful evangelical text. But in the Middle East, the door of the sheepfold was the shepherd himself. He would just lie down. And he was the door. You know, he's our great protector. And how often God's hand has been upon us, and sometimes we don't know a thing about it. Sometimes we're not aware of it. And again, we read in our reading this morning how he just destroyed the Egyptians like he threw a stone into the sea. He's our great protector. He's our great provider. He has a pathway for you. You know, he has a passion for us. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now look at verse 13 in Nehemiah chapter 9. I'm trying to do this simply and quickly just to encourage you this morning. You see what it says about God. Thou camest down upon Mount Sinai. Now we could read on and we can read how he, and I'll say more about it later, he saw their affliction, he heard their cry, and how God loves him. But this morning, as we think of God coming down, we don't think of the Lord coming to Mount Sinai. I want to think of Christ coming to Mount Calvary. How much does he love you this morning? He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Old Testament times, the sheep died for the shepherd. New Testament, Christ the shepherd would die for the sheep. How much he loves you this morning. So I want you to see how good is the God we adore. I want you to see, even in his name, Jehovah, I am. He provides for us. He's the bread. He has a pathway for us. He's the light. He protects us. He's the door. He has a passion for us. He's the shepherd. He has power for us. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, when you read in verse number 6 of our reading, you discover he has made heaven and the heaven of heavens and the earth and the sea. You know, whatever's above you, he made it. Whatever's around you, he made it. Whatever is beneath you, he made it. Whatever pressure is on top of you this morning, he can handle it. Whatever you're facing head on this morning, he can cope with it. But whatever's being dug up from the past beneath you and causing you to fret and to fear and to fail, he can handle it. How good is the God we adore? Well, how powerful is he this morning? How profitable he makes us this morning. You know, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him shall bring forth much fruit. And we become fruitful for him. You know what it says in verse 15? They were going to go in and possess the land. When we looked at the book of Joshua, we talked about possessing your possessions, claiming what God has for you. And everywhere the sole of their foot would tread, they could claim it. And God had so much for them. And God has so much for you. But sometimes we're not going in and we're not claiming it. And we're not possessing our possessions. Boy, he is profitable. You know, he pardons us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look at verse 7. In Nehemiah chapter 9, I just tried to apply these, and you can see how I'm doing it this morning. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abraham. You know, he found Abraham. Abraham didn't find God. And God moved into his life, and you can see the grace of God. And surely this morning you can thank God for his grace in your life. That he ever would reach down and have an interest in saving a sinner like you and a sinner like me. Not only was he found, but he brought him forth. He brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees. That's where Abraham lived. It was a land steeped in idolatry, according to Joshua 24, verse number 2. And yet by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, knowing not whither he went. He stepped out in faith. And by grace, through faith, Abraham was saved. Do you notice something in verse number 8? It says, and foundest his heart faithful. No mention of Abraham's failures. No mention of the fact that he came to Haran and stopped. No mention of the fact he lied about Sarah. No mention of any of his feelings. Do you know why? God says their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. He's a forgiving God this morning. And there's so much wrapped up in this. Even the very future of Abraham. Verse number 7. Thou givest him the name of Abraham, which means father of multitudes. At this time, Ishmael was his son. Isaac wasn't born, but Isaac would be born. He would become the father of many nations. God was saying, there's a blessed future for you. How he has pardoned us this morning. How he found us. How he brought us forth. How he has forgiven us. How he has given us a great future. How good is the God we adore this morning. Will we rise up and bless the Lord this morning? You see what he's called. And then you see his creation. Look at verse number 6. I just want you to see the goodness of God. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. I'm always intrigued when they find a new fossil. And they found one recently, I think it was in China, called Dragon Man. And apparently they're having to rethink the evolutionary map. And every time something happens, they move the goalpost by another 10 or 20 million years. And things are swapped around and changed around. I'm glad I don't depend on that rubbish. I'm glad I believe God made the heaven and the earth and everything that is therein. And young people, don't be ashamed to stand up and say you believe that God created this world. Don't be ashamed to say that. One of the most educated men who ever lived was the Apostle Paul. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He said, by one man sin entered into the world. He believed in Adam and Eve. The Lord Jesus Christ, who could do no wrong, who could not sin, he was God. He said this, have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? The Lord Jesus Christ believed in the creation story. Indeed, he is the creator. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to stand up and say that God created this world and God preserved the world. Verse 6, thou preservest them all. He didn't start it off and then leave it to evolution. God is the creator. You know, he cares about his creation. Psalm 147, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Matthew 10 verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? Did he not say, even the very hairs of your head are numbered? He cares about you this morning. The great creator cares about you this morning. You know, when Isaiah wanted to comfort the people, and God wants to comfort the people. This is what he said in Isaiah 40 verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Here's what he went on to say. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? You can't imagine that God's hand could hold all the waters that are in the world. And we use the term hand so that you and I can understand it. It's not that God is a big hand. It's showing us the might and the power of God. What is it that he can't handle for you this morning? What have you got that's too big for God? He meted out the heavens with his span. A span's from here to here. He can measure the universe with his hand. How wide is this problem of yours? How long has it been going on? You know, it says he can count the very dust and comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure. He can count the dust of the earth. He knows every little detail. Do you think God doesn't know what you're going through? Think God doesn't understand what you're having to face? It says he weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. He could tell you the weight of the mountains and all the hills of your burden that you can't see around. Is this a burden that God can't take you through? And when Isaiah wanted to comfort the people, God directs him to the creation, our wonderful creator. You know, if you look at verse number 6, he made the very host, he made the angels. Look what it says in verse 6, the host of heaven worshipeth thee. The angels worship God. You know, we have more to worship God for than the angels. Angels have never been redeemed. They've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They cannot sing redeemed by the blood of the Lamb because they've never been redeemed. You and I have more reason to worship God than the very angels. How good is the God we adore? Look at what he's called. He's the great Jehovah. Look at creation. Look at the cry of his people in verse number 9. and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea. Here's God's people, and as I said earlier, they're in an awkward place, but look, the Lord saw. He looked. He saw their affliction. No one else sees it this morning. No one has a clue what life has been like for you. And here are the children of Israel in affliction in Egypt. And I'm sure they wondered, is there anybody out there? Is there anyone who really cares? God saw it. God sees exactly what you're going through. He looked. It says he heard their cry. He listened. And maybe it's a very faint cry. Maybe it's a loud cry. Maybe in the night season, some nights you've cried yourself to sleep. Just uncontrollable crying. Sometimes it's just a whimper. Sometimes there's no volume at all. But he hears your cry this morning. He's looking. He's listening this morning. You know, he liberated them this morning. He set them free. He brought them out of Egypt. You know, sometimes we are set free when God says no. And that's hard to take. Do you remember when Paul was praying for the thorn in his flesh, and Paul wanted the thorn to go, and if Paul could have written it down, he said, Lord, take away this thorn and I will be free. The Lord says, no, Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul was set free from the thorn dominating his life because he started to appreciate the grace of God. He's looking this morning. He's listening this morning. And he will liberate this morning. Sometimes he brings us out of it. Sometimes he'll give us the grace to cope in the midst of it. How good is the God we adore. Look what he's called. He's the Jehovah. He is the creator. Look at the cry of his people and he hears it and he answers. Look at the commandments. Maybe you wouldn't think of commandments as being a blessing, but what a blessing it is this morning. Look at verse 13. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and givest them right judgments. Underline the word right. And true laws. Underline the word true. Good statutes and commandments. Right, true, and good. That's what you find in the Word of God. Do you want what's right and true and good for your life? The commandments. Do you want what's right and true and good for your home and for your family? Thank God for the Word of God. And it's the commandments here, but we could talk about the whole Word of God. Can you imagine a world without the commandments, what it would be like? Let me give you an example. The Minister for Health has an affair with his secretary or whatever she was. It's beamed across the world. And I'm sure most of you have seen it. And the cry isn't, this man is breaking the seventh commandment. No, the cry is, this man has breached social distancing. That's where we are today. That's a world with no Bible, no commandments, no right, no wrong, no good, no bad. That's a world where darkness is called light and light is called darkness. Thank God for the commandments. Thank God we don't have to make it up as we go along. Thank God we have God's holy and righteous standard. How good is the God we adore this morning? What a wonderful God. What a mighty God this morning. Let me give you one more and I'm finished. You see what he's called. You see he is the creator. You see the cry. You see the commandments. You see that he can be counted on. I'm going to pick out two words. Look at verse 15. You see, in this verse, he giveth them bread from heaven for their hunger, brought us forth water for them out of the rock for thirst, and promised them, get the word promise, Go up the chapter to verse number 8. I'm just going to read the last bit. To give to it, I say to his seed, and thou hast performed. The one who promises will perform. God always keeps his word. And do you need a promise from God this morning? Do you need a promise of help this morning? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How do I know he'd help you in your trouble? Because he promised he would. And child of God, I dare anybody to stand up and say God's a liar. God will give you the help you need. Do you need courage? Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that will go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What are you facing? What are you having to go through? What door must you walk through? He says, I'll not leave you. I'll not fail you. And I'll not forsake you. You can take his promise this morning. He can be counted on this morning. Is it guidance you need? For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Do you need guidance? Well, it's here for you. Do you need wisdom or strength? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. Stop trying to work it out yourself. Stop trying to work your way through this maze. Stop trying to iron this out yourself. Will you just come and say, God, I need heavenly wisdom. And he'll give it to you. Because he can be counted on. Every promise in this book you can lean upon, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. You can take every promise and you can lean upon it and you'll never break it, because he never breaks his promise. He can be counted on. How good is the God we adore? Think about what he's called. He's the great I Am. Who's going to help me? Jesus says, I am. I am. Who's here when I need them? Jesus says, I am. I'm here. I'm the great I Am. He's the great creator. He makes and sustains. He listens to the cries of our heart. He hears and answers our prayers. He has given us the commandments. We've got God's righteous and holy standard. He can be counted on. There was a preacher I read yesterday. He's called Lowell Johnson. I don't know anything about him. But he lists 10 things about God that are in this passage. We've mentioned some of them. Verse 5, his name. Verse 6, he is unique. He is Lord alone. Verse 6 again, his power in creation and in conquering. Verse 4, his grace. Remember when he chose Abraham. Verse 8, his faithfulness. He has performed his words. Verse 9, his compassion. He has heard, he has seen and he has heard the cry of his people. Verse 12, his guidance. He has led them. Verse 13 and 14, his word. His laws are righteous and true. Verse 15, his promises. He has promised and he has performed. Verse 8, his holiness. Thou art righteous. How good is the God we adore this morning? How well do you know him this morning? Get to know him and you'll appreciate his greatness and his goodness and his graciousness. And what a difference it'll make to your life. Let's pray. We'll stand as we close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, the more I read through these verses, the more inadequate I felt. Because, Lord, there's so much here. And, Lord, forgive me for just skimming over it. But, Lord, I do pray that the good seed of the Word of God will fall on good ground this morning. Lord, sometimes our lives are so choked up that it can't even get in, never mind half in, doesn't get in at all. But Lord, I know there are the people of God listening from home, and I know there's some of God's precious, precious children here this morning. And they need to be reminded that our God is good. Our God is great. Our God is gracious. And Lord, they need to know that the great Jehovah, the great I Am, is with them every step of the way. They need to realize they can call upon His name, and He will see and He will hear the cry of broken hearts and burdened hearts and difficult hearts. They need to know He's the great Creator. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Lord, we have a great God. How good is the God we adore. We pray, Lord, that You will take some dear child of God by the hand. Lead them through whatever they're going through. And Lord, may they be leaning on those everlasting arms. May they be leaning on every promise in this book. And Lord, I do pray You will bless Your dear people in these difficult days. Do remember those who must leave us now. And Lord, as we gather around the Lord's table, grant us a real and continued sense of Thy presence. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. If the office bearers could open the doors, and again, do leave. If you're nearest the door, you leave first. If you're not staying for the Lord's table, and others follow.